Good morning, everybody. So I'd like to start with a reading from Psalm, it's all of Psalm 70. And it says in Psalm 70, "Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. Let them be turned back because of their shame who say, 'Aha, aha.' Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, 'Let God be magnified.' But I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay." Shall we pray? Lord God, I ask for your help this morning as I bring your message. Lord, I pray that the words I speak will bring glory to you. And Lord, that I pray for our hearing as well. Lord, that you will bless us as we hear your word this morning. And Lord, if anything I say is not of you, Lord, may you overrule. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, my theme this morning, again and continually. And what brought me to this theme was, we're at that point in the year, aren't we, when we have lots of events. We have the sort of regular events of the year. So we have had Christmas, we had Advent, Christmas, and now we're coming up to the New Year celebration. Regular events, they sort of repeat, don't they, year after year. And for me, I've got my birthday in January, a bit like Donna. So my birthday actually comes a week after New Year. So it's always the same day as Christmas Day. So you've got Christmas Day this year on a Monday, then you've got New Year's Day on a Monday, and then my birthday is the Monday after. So I've got this kind of real repeating pattern in my life, year after year. And I'm going to be 54 in January, God willing. 54, wow, that's kind of year after year, repeating again and again. It kind of feels at times like you're sort of ticking off the calendar, doesn't it? The calendar repeats. Events just sort of come and continue. And the question in my mind then is whether repetition is a good thing or a bad thing, and how we respond to repetition, how we understand repetition. So my first point there, Anderson, if you can click the button, repetitive and boring. So repetition, sometimes we can think that repetition is just boring, can't we? We can think that it just goes on and on. Oh, same old, same old. Oh, no, not again. We've got these sayings in our language that are just all about how repetition is such a bad thing. You know, we can't put up with these things happening again and again, continually. You just think of some examples of things that repeat and how bad they are and how we can't be doing with them. TV repeats. Oh, no, TV repeats are terrible. Why do we have to have TV repeats all the time? Repeating a year at school. They don't do it in this country so much, but in some other countries, if you don't do very well in a year at school, you have to repeat it. Oh no, how boring, how dull, how tedious. You've got to do all the same things all over again. You think of things like some boring manual work. I don't know whether you can think of the most boring, tedious job you could imagine. For me, I think it might be something like bricklaying. I kind of like the idea of bricklaying, but imagine how many bricks you have to lay to build a building like this. Thousands and thousands of bricks, and each one, it's just the same again and again and again and again and again. You're just putting bricks one on top of the other, time after time. And repetition, even sort of, there's a punishment. There are punishments that are based on the boredom of repetition. When you go to school, if you do something wrong, what do you have to do? You have to write lines. And you have to write the same thing again and again and again and again and again and again and again. You're just doing the same boring, tedious thing again and again, and it's a punishment. And in our lives, I think in our culture today, there's kind of an increased intolerance of repetition. We just can't be doing with repetition. We want everything to be bespoke. We want everything to be personalized. We don't want the same thing again and again. We can't be doing with dull and boring repetitive jobs. We want everything to be new. Things have got to be new all the time. They've got to be different and they've got to be better. That's kind of the whole culture we're in. And so with the sort of repetition in our calendar, with the pattern we see in our calendar, we can very easily become weary and we can become bored. We can think, I can think, oh, look, here's another season again, you know, another Christmas, another Advent, another New Year, another, for me, birthday. Oh, it's just ticking something off the list. And the Bible talks about this as well. The Bible talks about vain repetition. There is vain repetition, which is not good. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." So the Bible talks about, Jesus himself talks about vain repetition. Repetition can be vain, it can be pointless, it can be a bad thing. And then we also read in Hebrews chapter 10 about vain sacrifices. And it says, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect." So this is talking about the old practice, the old Jewish practice of sacrificing regularly, year after year, the same sacrifices. And Paul is saying here in Hebrews that this is a vain practice, that it doesn't bring salvation. These sacrifices can't make us perfect. And we have been made perfect by the one, once and for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. That is the one for all sacrifice that makes those who approach perfect, as it says in Hebrews. So repetition can be a boring thing, it can be ineffective, and we avoid it, we shun it very often because we don't like repetition. So that's all the bad stuff about repetition, but there's some good stuff as well. So if we come on to my next point, repetition. So I've been really struck over the last weeks and months by just some positive things about repetition. So the first thing that I've noticed is that repetition is good for learning. If we want to learn things, very often we have to repeat them, don't we? And in a way, that's kind of the story behind writing lines, isn't it? You know, I must remember to do my homework. If you write 1,000 times, well, you just might remember to do your homework. I don't know. Repetition can be good for learning. And then repetition is also a rhetorical device. Do you know what a rhetorical device is? A rhetorical device is a technique that people use when they're talking, when they're standing up like me and talking to a group of people. So there are little techniques that you can use in the language that you use, which emphasize the points that you want to make, which make it clearer what you want to say, help people to understand. So there's a rhetorical device, for example, which is asking a rhetorical question, isn't there? I just asked a rhetorical question. I did. So I just used a rhetorical device, I asked a rhetorical question. It's a question that is asked without the expectation of an answer. So that's the rhetorical device. So there's another rhetorical device, which is that you repeat words. And there's this particular type of repetition is called an anaphora, which I hadn't known, although I've sort of recognized it. But an anaphora, apparently, is repetition of a word at the beginning of successive phrases for emphasis. And this is very widely used technique, and I should probably use it more. I probably don't use it enough. I probably, when I spoke, stood up here, if I used it more, people would, you know, get my message a bit more clearly. But anyway, I don't. But it is widely used, and it's used, for instance, by political leaders. And there's a very famous example which I just want to show you, and hopefully it'll work. If Anderson can just move on to the next one. Winston Churchill, a very famous political leader and orator, and he used this technique several times, but this is a particularly famous one, if we can make it work. Let's see.
We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
So, very famous example there. he made that speech just after the British Army had been defeated in France at the beginning of the Second World War, and they'd all managed to be evacuated from Dunkirk. It was a huge defeat. People were very, very scared. They were worried at that time that there was going to be an invasion. They thought that the German army was right just on the other side of the channel. It was going to invade, had a huge strength of tanks and aircraft, massive military might. People were expecting there to be an invasion. And Churchill was trying to rally the troops. He was saying, look, we'll fight. We'll fight on. We're not going to surrender. And in order to give that message at that time, he used that rhetorical device of repeating the same words again and again. And we find this same thing in the Bible. You might not have realized this or might not have noticed it, but there are a number of places in the Bible where we have repeating phrases for emphasis. So, for example, a good example is Psalm 150, where it says, "Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." What does the writer of the psalm want us to do? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The whole, it's emphasizing just that need, that desire for us to just praise, to pour out our hearts to the Lord. And repetition is used by Jesus as well. You can probably think of some examples, but probably the most famous one is the Beatitudes. In Matthew 5 and Luke 6, we read, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And then we can think of all of the repetition in John, in the book of John, all of the I ams. Can you think of those? "I am the bread of life" in chapter 6. "I am the light of the world" in chapter 8, and so on. "I am the good shepherd." "I am the resurrection and the life." "I am the way, the truth, and the life." "I am the true vine." Jesus used repetition to emphasize his point, to make his point clearer, to make his point stronger. And with the I ams, he's very much challenging the received wisdom at the time. He's stating very, very clearly, although it doesn't come through so clearly in the English, he's stating his connection to God the Father in a way that really challenged the the perceived wisdom and the religious authorities at the time. Of course, we can't know what sort of expression or tone Jesus used when he delivered the Sermon on the Mount, can we? Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that? But what we do know is that Jesus spoke with authority, don't we? In Matthew chapter 7, it says, "For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Jesus spoke with that same gravity, that same authority, perhaps as Winston Churchill used. Winston Churchill had a speech impediment, and he practiced his speeches very assiduously. He went over them again and again. He was very thoughtful about how he delivered his speeches. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have experienced Jesus delivering a teaching in a language that we can understand, and to really appreciate the authority with which he spoke, to feel the tone and the way in which he expressed his message? Wouldn't that have been amazing? And that this whole point really about repetition being a means of emphasizing a point, and of emphasizing in the Bible, of emphasizing spiritual lessons, spiritual teachings, of magnifying God. That's really what it's doing. It's about magnifying God, making God bigger, making God more important, making God greater. It's summarized in the passage that I read at the beginning in Psalm 70 in verse 4. "Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified." We need to say continually, again and again, let God be magnified. By saying it again and again, God will be magnified, because we're using that device of repetition to emphasize the point, let God be magnified. So repetition is good for teaching and for learning. It's good for public speaking. And of course, it's also used in music and in poetry. And that's the psalm we read. Psalm 150 is perhaps more along those lines. It's more musical and more poetic than public speech. And repetition is all around us. We see repeating patterns in nature, in the natural world around us. Repetition can be an efficient and effective and a necessary thing. So although sometimes we might think, oh, it's just the same old, it's just another tick in the box, it's the same old, no. Repetition can be a very necessary and effective thing. So if we come on to my next point, Winston Churchill can disappear. And next point, that's right, constant and persistent. So the repetition that we see around us, I think, mirrors in some ways what God does. So when we come back to the calendar and thinking about the calendar, God has created a world around us that gives us repeating events in the year, doesn't he? We have seasons. So we have, the shortest day, we have the longest day, we have the year, we have tides, full moons, which kind of roughly mirror the months that we have in our calendar. We have day and night. We have, as I say, we have the seasons. So God, in his creation, has created for us a world where there is repetition, where there is pattern, where there's regularity, where there are reliable events that we can depend on. And the point here is that God is faithful and gracious to us. He is totally reliable and regular. Those events that we depend on, those natural events, are totally reliable and regular. And people struggle. People have tried to kind of respond to this regularity, these repeating patterns, and have struggled. We fail. We fail to match God's reliability and regularity very often. And just a very silly example is the story of the invention of clocks. You know, people have tried to accurately mirror the natural world and the cycles of the natural world through clocks. And you, as you may know, the story of clocks and the whole struggle to produce really accurate clocks. And eventually, about 200 years ago, John Harrison, after massive, huge effort by many, many people, managed to produce a very accurate clock. But how long did that take? How long? In a way, that's kind of a metaphor for how people have struggled to reflect the reliability and the regularity of God's provision for us. And the Bible instructs us very clearly and gives us an imperative to be continually praising, praying, worshipping, and serving the Lord. And we've sang, some of the songs that we sang earlier were about that very subject, about that very theme, about just the regularity of needing to continually praise and pray, bring our worship to the Lord. And we read this in the Bible in several places. So in the Old Testament, for example, in Joshua chapter 1. So this is the passage which the song Be Bold, Be Strong is based on. Verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it." And then it goes on a little bit later in verse 9, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So this continuing, this repetition, if you like, just provides continuity with the past, with the leadership of the past as well. So in this case, we've got Joshua who's coming in, who's replacing Moses as the leader of God's people, and God is instructing him and saying, continue, be faithful, continue to repeat, do these things again and again, and that will give you strength. And then in Daniel chapter 6, verse 16, this is when Daniel is facing the lion's den. And this repetition is recognized by the king of Babylon at the time. He says, "So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, 'Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you.'" So that is the sense that serving God continually, continuing to do it, repeating, doing it again and again, serving God, that will bring rewards, that faithfulness will bring rewards and be rewarded. And then in the New Testament, we have several passages where we're instructed to continually bring our praise and our worship to God. In Hebrews 13, for example, it says, "Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Our praise will, his praise will ever be on our lips. That's what that song's about, isn't it? Continually offering the sacrifice of praise. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And moreover, it's not just about continually bringing our praise and our worship. There's also something about how we should bring our praise and our worship to God, that we should be steadfast, we should be persistent and vigilant. It's not enough just to repeat the process. In Romans 12, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." In Colossians 4, verse 2, it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So it's not enough just to continually repeat the process, if you like. It's about what is in our hearts. There's an urgency, which came through again in Psalm 70, which we first read. Make haste, Lord. There's an urgency. We need to be urgently praying, urgently praising God, giving thanks. It's not enough just to go through the motions. That surely is what that vain process is that we read about earlier. But that urgency needs to come as well with a patience. We need to wait upon the Lord sometimes. The Lord doesn't always respond when we want him to. Isaiah 40, verse 31, talks about this, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, my first point was that repetition can be boring, it can be vain, it can be dull. Things can be repetitive. And sometimes we can grow weary because of this kind of repetition in our lives. My second point was that repetition can be a good means of learning. It can help emphasize points. It's helpful to us when we read, when we speak. Repetition can be very, very helpful to us. It can be good, it can encourage, it can give emphasis, and repetition can be used to magnify the name of the Lord, to make the name of the Lord bigger and more important. And then my third point was that we need to be constant and persistent in prayer and in praise and in worship and in serving God. I've got another example here of a well-known passage, which again was the basis of one of the songs that we had earlier, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Rejoice in the Lord always. And that's not enough. Again I say rejoice. Again. Do it again. Rejoice. Continually rejoicing and praying can bring us peace and guard our hearts and our minds. But it can also move us forward in our walk with the Lord. And this is where I think we need to come to as we reflect now on the new year approaching 2018. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So as the years pass, as the days pass, as the time passes, our bodies may get weaker, but our minds and our hearts can grow stronger and be renewed day by day. That's where we need to come to. And perhaps there may be those in this room who have not yet come to that point of really receiving the Lord as their own personal saviour. In which case, well, perhaps that renewal is the first making new your life. Perhaps it's the first big step. And the wonderful thing is that that opportunity is always open to us. Another place in the New Testament where we read about something happening again is in the parable of the workers in the vineyard in Matthew chapter 20. This is the story where Jesus describes how a vineyard owner calls people in to work in the vineyard, and he calls some people in the morning, and then he goes again and finds other people and brings them in the afternoon, and then he goes again and he brings other people in the evening. And then at the end, everybody is paid the same. And some of those people who were there from the beginning of the day complain, why is it that these people who only worked for 1 or 2 hours or 3 hours are paid the same as me? But the message of that parable is that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. God is he receives everybody at any stage, and everybody receives that same salvation. And the wonderful thing about that particular passage, which I only really noticed, especially when I was preparing for this, was that God goes back each time. He goes back. He doesn't just rest after the first group of people come in. He's continuing to go back. He persists in going back and finding and seeking out people to come and work in his vineyard. And that applies, that maybe that applies to you, maybe that's you today, that you're somebody and God has persisted and he's coming back to you and he's calling you in today to work in his vineyard. And if that's the case with you, then you will be rewarded with exactly the same salvation as everybody else, as the person who's been a Christian for 60 or 70 years. So if you consider yourself one of the last, let 2018 be the time to take the opportunity to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. And if you consider yourself to be one of the first, let 2018 be a time to be constant and faithful, continually bringing your praise and your worship, continuing to serve the Lord through 2018. Embrace the new year with a renewed commitment to rejoice in the Lord again, to be constant and persistent in praise and prayer, continually serving the Lord again and again. Shall we pray? Lord God, thank you for providing events in our calendar when we can reflect on how faithful you are, how regular you are in providing us with all that we need in so many ways. And Lord, how you persist, how you come back again and again, and that you are always there for us, that the opportunity is always there for us to step forward and to come to you. So Lord, help us now as we just reflect on these events in our year, as we reflect on your love for us and your greatness, help us to magnify your name. Help us to think again about what it means to really magnify your name. And Lord, bless us in the coming year, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.